Chapter 16. That God brought things into being out of nothing. From this it is clear that God brought things into being out of no pre-existing thing as matter, for if a thing is an effect of God, either something exists before it, or not. If not, our point is proved, namely that God produces an effect from no pre-existing thing. If however something exists before it, we must either go on to infinity, which is impossible in natural causes, as the philosopher proves, we must come to some first thing that presupposes no other, and this can only be God, for it was shown in the first book, that he is not the matter of anything, nor can there be anything other than God the being of which is not caused by God, as we have proved. It follows therefore that God in producing his effects requires no prejacent matter out of which to produce his work. Further, every matter is constricted to some particular species by the form with which it is superendued. Hence to produce an effect out of prejacent matter by enduing it with a form in any way belongs to an agent that aims at some particular species. Now a like agent is a particular agent, since causes are proportionate to their effects. An agent that requires of necessity prejacent matter out of which to work its effect, is a particular agent. But God is an agent as being the universal cause of being, as was proved above. He needs no prejacent matter in his action. Again, the more universal an effect, the higher its proper cause, because the higher the cause, to so many more things does its virtue extend. Now to be is more universal than to be moved, since some beings are immovable, as also philosophers teach, for instance stones and the like. It follows therefore that above the cause which acts only by causing movement and change, there is that cause which is the first principle of being, and we have proved, that this is God. Therefore God does not act merely by causing movement and change. Now everything that cannot bring things into being save from prejacent matter, acts only by causing movement and change. Since to make aught out of matter is the result of movement or change of some kind. Consequently, it is not impossible to bring things into being without prejacent matter. Therefore God brings things into being without prejacent matter. Again, that which acts only by movement and change is inconsistent with the universal cause of being, since by movement and change a being is not made from absolute non-being, but this being from this non-being. Now God is the universal cause of being, as we have proved. Therefore it is not becoming to him to act only by movement or change. Neither then is it becoming to him to need pre-existing matter, in order to make something. Moreover, every agent produces something like itself in some way. Now every agent acts according as it is actually. Consequently to produce an effect by causing in some way a form inherent to matter, will belong to that agent, which is actualized by a form inherent to it, and not by its whole substance. Hence the philosopher proves, that material things, which have forms in matter, are engendered by material agents that have forms in matter, and not by per se existing forms. Now God is actual being not by a form inherent to him, but by his whole substance, as we have proved above. The proper mode of his action is to produce a whole subsistent thing, and not merely an inherent thing, namely a form in matter, and every agent that requires no matter for its action, acts in this way. Therefore God requires no pre-existing matter in his action. Further, matter is compared to an agent as the recipient of the action proceeding from the agent, for the action which is the agent's as proceeding therefrom, is the patient's as residing therein. Wherefore matter is required by an agent that it may receive the agent's action, since the agent's action received in the patient is the patient's act and form, or some beginning of a form therein. Now God does not act by an action that requires to be received in a patient, because his action is his substance, as already proved. He requires no prejacent matter in order to produce an effect. Further, every agent that requires prejacent matter in acting, has a matter proportionate to its action, so that whatever is in the potency of the agent, is all in the potentiality of the matter, otherwise it could not bring into act all that are in its active power, and thus would have that power, with regard to such things, to no purpose. Now matter has no such proportion to God, for matter is not in potentiality to any particular quantity, as the philosopher declares, whereas the divine power is simply infinite, as we proved in the first book. Therefore God requires no prejacent matter as necessary for his action. Again, of different things there are different matters, for the matter of spiritual things is not the same as that of corporeal things, nor that of heavenly bodies the same as that of corruptible bodies. This is evident from the fact that receptivity, which is a property of matter, is not of the same kind in the aforesaid, for receptivity in spiritual things is intelligible. Thus the intellect receives the species of intelligible objects, but not according to their material being, while heavenly bodies receive newness of situation, but not newness of being, as lower bodies do. Therefore there is not one matter that is in potentiality to universal being, but God's activity regards all being universally. Therefore no matter corresponds proportionately to him. Therefore he requires not matter of necessity. Moreover, wherever in the universe certain things are in mutual proportion and order, one of them must proceed from the other, or both from some one, for order must be founded in one by its corresponding with another. Else order or proportion would be the result of chance, which is inadmissible in the first principles of things, because it would follow yet more that all else are from chance. If, then, there be any matter proportionate to the divine action, it follows that either the one is from the other, or both from a third. But since God is the first being and the first cause, he cannot be the effect of matter, nor can he be from any third cause. Therefore it follows that if there be matter proportionate to God's action, he is the cause thereof. Again, that which is the first of beings, must needs be the cause of the things that are, for if they were not cause they would not be set in order thereby, as we have already proved. Now between act and potentiality there is this order, that, although in the one and same thing which is sometimes in potentiality and sometimes in act, potentiality precedes act in point of time, whereas act precedes by nature, nevertheless, speaking simply, act must needs precede potentiality, which is evidenced by the fact that potentiality is not reduced to act save by a being in act, but matter is a being in potentiality. Therefore God, who is pure act, must needs be simply prior to matter, and consequently the cause thereof. Therefore matter is not necessarily presupposed for his action. Again, primary matter is in some way, for it is a being in potentiality. Now God is the cause of all things that are, as we have proved. Therefore God is the cause of primary matter, to which nothing is pre-existent. Therefore the divine action needs no pre-existing nature. Divine Scripture confirms this truth, saving in the beginning God created heaven and earth. For to create is nothing else than to bring something into being without prejacent matter. Hereby is refuted the error of the ancient philosophers who asserted that matter has no cause whatever, because they observed that in the actions of particular agents something is always prejacent to action, whence they drew the opinion common to all that from nothing naught is made. This is true in particular agents, but they had not yet arrived at the knowledge of the universal agent, which is the active cause of all being, and of necessity presupposes nothing for his action. Chapter 17. That creation is neither movement nor change. Having proved the foregoing, it is evident that God's action, which is without prejacent matter and is called creation, is neither movement nor change, properly speaking, for all movement or change is the action of that which is in potentiality as such. Now in this action there pre-exists nothing in potentiality to receive the action, as we have proved. Therefore it is neither movement nor change. Again, the extremes of a movement or change are included in the same order, either because they come under one genus, as contraries, for instance in the movement of growth and alteration, and when a thing is carried from one place to another, or because they have one potentiality of matter in common, as privation and form in generation and corruption. But neither of these applies to creation, for it admits of no potentiality, nor of anything of the same genus that may be presupposed to creation, as we have proved. Therefore there is neither movement nor change therein. Further, in every change or movement there must be something that is conditioned otherwise now and before, since the very name of change shows this. But when the whole substance of a thing is brought into being, there can be no same thing that is conditioned in one way and in another, for it would not be produced, but presupposed to production. Therefore creation is not to change. Further, movement and change must needs precede that which is made by change or movement, because having been made is the beginning of rest and the term of movement. Wherefore all change must be movement or the term of a movement that is successive. For this reason, what is being made, is not for as long as movement lasts. Something is being made and is not, whereas in the term itself of movement, wherein rest begins, no longer is a thing being made, but it has been made. Now in creation this is impossible, for if creation proceeded as movement or change, it would necessarily presuppose a subject, and this is contrary to the nature of creation. Therefore creation is neither movement nor change. Chapter 18. How to solve the objections against creation. From this we may see the vacuity of those who gainsay creation by arguments taken from the nature of movement and change, such as that creation must needs, like other movements and changes, take place in some subject, and that it implies the transmutation of non-being into being, like that of fire into air. For creation is not a change, but the very dependence of created being on the principle whereby it is produced. Hence it is a kind of relation. Wherefore nothing prevents its being in the creature as its subject. Nevertheless creation would seem to be a kind of change according only to our way of understanding in so far, to wit, as our intellect grasps one and the same thing as previously non-existent, and as afterwards existing. It is clear, however, that if creation is a relation, it is a thing, and neither is it uncreated, nor is it created by another relation. For since a created effect depends really on its creator, this relation must needs be something. Now everything is brought into being by God. Therefore it receives its being from God. And yet it is not created by a different creation from the first creature which is stated to be created thereby, because accidents and forms, just as they are not per se, so neither are they created per se. Since creation is the production of a being, but just as they are in another, so are they created when other things are created. Moreover, a relation is not referred through another relation, for in that case one would go on to infinity, but is referred by itself, because it is essentially a relation. Therefore there is no need for another creation whereby creation itself is created, so that one would go on to infinity. Chapter 19. That in creation there is no succession. It is also clear from the foregoing that all creation is without succession, for succession is proper to movement, while creation is not a movement nor the term of a movement, as change is. Therefore there is no succession therein. Again, in every successive movement there is some mean between its extremes, for a mean is that which a continuously moved thing reaches first before reaching the term. Now between being and non-being, which are as the extremes of creation, no mean is possible. Therefore there is no succession therein. Moreover, in every making wherein there is succession, a thing is becoming before it has been made, as is proved in 6 physics. Now this cannot happen in creation, because the becoming which would precede being made, would need a subject. And this could not be the creature itself whose creation is in question, since it is not before it is made. Nor would it be in the maker, because to be moved is the act not of the mover, but of the thing moved. It follows that becoming would have for its subject some pre-existing matter of the thing made. But this is incompatible with creation. Therefore there can be no succession in creation. Further, every making that proceeds by succession must needs take time, since before and after in movement are reckoned by time. Now time, movement, and the thing subject to movement are all simultaneously divided. This is evident in local movement, for that which is moved with regularity passes through half a magnitude in half the time. Now the division in forms that corresponds to division of time is according to intensity and remissness. Thus if a thing is heated to such a degree in so much time, it is heated to a less degree in less time. Accordingly succession in any movement or making is possible according as the thing in respect of which there is motion is divisible, either according to quantity, as in local movement and increase, or according to intensity and remission, as in alteration. Now the latter occurs in two ways. First, because the form which is the term of movement is divisible in respect of intensity and remission, as when a thing is in motion towards whiteness. Secondly, Because such a division happens in dispositions to such a form, thus the becoming of fire is successive on account of the previous alteration as regards the dispositions to the form. But the substantial being itself of a creature is not divisible in this way, for substance cannot be more or less. Nor do any dispositions precede creation, since there is no pre-existing matter, for disposition is on the part of matter. It follows therefore that there cannot be succession in creation. Further, succession in the making of things results from a defect of the matter, that is not suitably disposed from the beginning for the reception of the form. Wherefore, when the matter is already perfectly disposed for the form, it receives it in an instant. For this reason, since a diaphanous body is always in the last disposition for light, it is actually illumined as soon as the luminous body is present, nor does any movement proceed on the part of the illuminable body, but only local movement on the part of the illuminant, which becomes present. But in creation nothing is required beforehand on the part of matter, nor does the agent lack anything for his action, that may afterwards accrue to him through movement, since he is utterly immovable, as we have shown in the first book of this work. It follows therefore that creation is instantaneous. Hence in the same instant a thing is being created and is created, just as in the same instant a thing is being illumined and is illumined. Hence divine scripture declares that the creation of things took place in an indivisible instant, when it says in the beginning God created heaven and earth, which beginning Basil expounds as the beginning of time, and this must be indivisible as is proved in 6 Physics. Chapter 20. That no body can create. Hence it is evident that no body can produce anything by creation. For no body acts unless it be moved, since agent and patient must be together, as also maker and that which is made, 124, and those things are together which are in the same place, as stated in 6 Physics, and a body does not acquire a place except by movement. But no body is moved except in time. Wherefore whatever is done by the action of a body is done successively, whereas creation, as we have proved, is without succession. Therefore nothing can be produced by way of creation by any body whatever. Further, every agent that acts through being moved, of necessity moves that on which it acts, for the thing made and the thing patient are consequent upon the disposition of maker and agent, since every agent produces its like. Hence, if the agent, while varying in disposition, acts inasmuch as it is changed by movement, it follows that also in the patient and the thing made there is a succession of dispositions, which is impossible without movement. Now no body moves unless it be moved, as we have proved. Therefore nothing results from the action of a body, except by the movement or change of the thing made. But creation is neither change nor movement, as proved above. No body can cause a thing by creating it. Again, since agent and effect must needs be like each other, the thing cannot produce the whole substance of the effect, unless it act by its entire substance. Thus the philosopher proves conversely, that if a form without matter acts by its whole self, it cannot be the proximate cause of generation wherein the form alone is brought into act. Now no body acts by its whole substance, although the whole of it acts, for since every agent acts by the form whereby it is actual, that alone is able to act by its whole substance, the whole of whose substance is a form. And this can be said of no body, because every body has matter, since every body is changeable. Therefore no body can produce a thing as to the whole substance of that thing, and this is essential to creation. Further, to create belongs exclusively to an infinite power, for an agent's power is so much the greater, according as it is able to bring into act a potentiality more distant from act. For instance, that which can produce fire from water in comparison with that which can produce it from air. Hence where pre-existing potentiality is altogether removed, all proportion to a determinate distance is surpassed. And thus the power of an agent that produces something without any pre-existing potentiality, must surpass all conceivable proportion to the power of an agent that produces something out of matter. But no power of a body is infinite, as the philosopher proves in 8 Physics. Therefore no body can create a thing, for this is to make something out of nothing. Moreover, mover and moved, maker and made must be together, as proved in 7 Physics. Now a bodily agent cannot be present to its effect except by contact, whereby the extremes of contiguous things come together. Wherefore it is impossible for a body to act save by contact. But contact is of one thing in relation to another. Hence where there is nothing pre-existent besides the agent, as happens in creation, there can be no contact. Therefore no body can act by creating. Thus we may see the falseness of the position of those who say that the substance of the heavenly bodies causes the matter of the elements, since matter can have no cause except that which acts by creating, because matter is the first subject of movement and change. Dash.